When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
How personalized can a financial plan be when it's created by one of those robo-advisors?
Plugging in standard algorithm to calculate insurance need and future wealth of random human client.
Robots don't know you. We do. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, getting to know you always comes first. Together, we'll create a financial plan based on your specific goals. Find a local Farm Bureau advisor at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it.
You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down.
How's it going, you guys? It's Nicholas Moriano from the Chicago Audible. As you can see, a little change of scenery from yesterday's video here, day three, training camp, second day in pads. Had to improvise here. Will had to leave about an hour early, so it's just me right now. And if you can't tell from my windshield in the back or how my hair looks, it was raining literally all day for the entire camp. Makes it less enjoyable for sure, but here to just kind of give you the takeaways from this very rainy practice. Like I said, second day in pads. Probably gonna put a hat on because I can't stand to look at messy hair. But yeah, today was not a very good day for the offense, to say the least. It was from the first string to the third string. The offense just was not in sync. The weather, I definitely say, played a factor, because when you see Allen Robinson drop a simple out route, that's something that you don't normally see from Allen Robinson. But I'll get into player specifics. We'll start with the quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. I thought it was a pretty inconsistent day from him. Again, like I said, the offense didn't look good in general today. But Mitch Trubisky, he had one maybe good deep ball today, where he actually threw it out in front and Taylor Gabriel was able to use his speed to go get it, as opposed to the multiple underthrows from Mitch Trubisky today. Again, I don't know if that's because of the weather or mechanics. It could be a number of things, but I think that was a very common thing you saw from Trubisky and really the rest of the quarterbacks, just a bunch of underthrows. And there was only one really opportunity that I saw where Mitch Trubisky actually laid it out in front. Taylor Gabriel got underneath it, was able to complete the pass. There was another, he had one overthrow, the one overthrow of maybe all practice, really, because all these quarterbacks were really leaving the ball short. It was to Anthony Miller, and I remember just talking to Will, just saying, hey, this is, what we saw a lot last year, just Trubisky and Miller not being able to connect. Hopefully they're able to work on that as camp continues, but didn't see a lot of good things from the offense from Mitch Trubisky. Really, it was Tyler Bray and the third string offense that actually was able to move the ball. And when it's raining, Will leaves early, and Tyler Bray and that third string offense is the best thing about the offense all day. camp is not as enjoyable. Let's just say that. It was until the last 11-on-11 session for team for when the first string offense finally got into the end zone. Again, there was probably a play before that where the defense would have had a sack, but they obviously let you can't touch the quarterback. But it was Ben Broniker. He got in, just barely gets into the end zone. I think it was Deion Bush in coverage. There was also a PI on the play, but the offense did end up scoring finally. But that was really the takeaways from this first string offense, from the offense in general. I thought David Montgomery, there was one time where he just looked crisp in his route running. So, I mean, I guess it's a segue going to the running backs right here. David Montgomery, I think, is going to be just obviously a weapon out of the backfield, can run those routes. He did yesterday he ran a nice wheel route, was able to get open, the ball wasn't able to get to him. This time he runs the wheel route, is able to get behind the linebacker, and this was just one-on-one drills, but David Montgomery is able to get this ball, and he ended up in the end zone. That's what you want to see from him. That's what he brings to this offense, so I saw more of that today. Tariq Cohen, the few reps that I watched of him, and I had a good vantage point, so did Will, when he was here, of him and the running backs just blocking the linebackers, something that they did yesterday. Tariq Cohen, he's what, listed at 5'6", if I can find it on the roster card, 5'6", 181 pounds. He's not going to have the best chance at blocking Roquan Smith. There was a rep where him and Roquan went at it. Tariq Cohen is in good position for the first maybe half a second, and then he leans his head too far down, and Roquan Smith just kind of shoves him off, walks to the dummy that is supposed to be the quarterback and kind of just taps it like it was easy work. And really, Roquan Smith, and I don't want to jump to the linebackers, he's just been really impressive when he's blitzing and in those blocking drills. And then we had not very much out of the running backs in general. And then you had Mike Davis, who he had a good catch over the middle when he was with the second string offense, and it looked like there was progress being made. And then someone just smacks out the ball at the end. It's a fumble. Just kind of how the offense went in general. If there was a positive, there was usually a negative to come a little bit later. So Mike Davis, he caught a ball over the middle, and it was team drills 11-on-11. Someone smacks it out at the end. It was a fumble. It would have been a fumble. Davis was upset about the fumble. And then the third string offense came in. But that was really it on the running backs. There wasn't really much to report on. Again, in general, the offense was pretty lackadaisical, pretty boring to watch, to be completely honest. And then just going to the wide receivers real quick. I just talked about a fumble. It was Cordarrelle Patterson. He caught a ball over the middle. Someone pops it out at the end. They're really emphasizing that peanut punch in the defenders in this camp because the ball ended up on the ground a lot today. Again, it's raining. Shouldn't be an excuse. It's Chicago. It's going to be like this in general. The weather's not going to be ideal. But, yeah, Cordarrelle Patterson, he had a fumble. I mentioned the Allen Robinson drop. He did have a nice, it was on Prince Mukamura in one-on-one drills, left sideline. How he's able to adjust his body, and we've seen it all camp. We've seen it all camp from Allen Robinson just doing, and what people usually tweet out or say is Allen Robinson is just doing Allen Robinson things. So adjusting his body, it was Mitch Trubisky throwing the ball. Don't know if that's exactly where the ball placement should be, but again, credit to Allen Robinson for making the adjustment and going back and getting that football. So that was good from him. It was Thomas Ives, a guy that maybe you don't really expect to make plays in camp, is still continuing to show up. I'm like, who is number 14 again? Looking on the roster card. And I did have the Tariq Cohen version of the roster card. But, the rain kind of destroyed that. And I had a notepad, had all my notes from, Saturday, Sunday. That completely destroyed and drenched, so I couldn't take any notes. So it's a lot of just mental things that I'm just trying to go back and go through. So those are kind of, I guess, the few standouts for the wide receivers. Like I said, Anthony Miller. Other than that overthrow from Mitch Trubisky, don't really remember anything too big from him. And again, it was just tough to watch. He don't get a vantage point from every single player on the field. And when it's just one of us today, it's kind of a little tough to keep track of everybody. There was a play in this section. He's going to defense again. Tanner Gentry just got locked down. And usually he's been pretty consistent in training camp so far. Number 33, Duke Shelley, obviously has listened to our video and not our criticism of him, just kind of our reaction to him. But he's been making some plays consistently throughout camp. That was really the big thing for the offense. I'm seeing some, and because I have the camera facing me, I can see all the comments. Ryan Nall, a guy that, you know what, as much as people would like to see him on the field and where he's at in the depth chart, I think he just is a very consistent player in camp so far. When he's blocking, obviously being that bigger frame, he's the biggest running back on this team by far. But you can tell when the blocking drills come on, regardless of who's that linebacker. I don't think I saw Nall go against Roquan Smith, but I think that's a matchup we should definitely watch out for because Nall is a very good blocker. I don't know if they're really thinking about the tight end switch. I've only seen Ryan Nall rep with the running backs, with the running back drills. So I think they're pretty complacent with him playing that position. Again, consistent. I think that's what you see of him. And it's really hard to gauge these running backs in how they're like running practice. They're usually calling the play dead. They don't want to see anybody obviously get injured, but you always see like a running back squirm out of a pile. Again, you don't know if he's really going to get through that. If one of these linebackers just lights up one of these running backs, it's not going to happen in this practice. It's usually blow the whistle pretty early for precautionary reasons, and that makes sense. For the tight ends, and before Will left, he definitely wanted me to mention that Ian Bunting was a guy that consistently showed up in this raining practice, whether it was the one-on-ones or the few passes that were actually completed by the offense. Regardless of the offense, Ian Bunting was a guy that showed up. And even after Will left, about an hour after that, he was still a guy that you look on the roster sheet, okay, where is number 49? Yep, he's still making plays. But that's what you want to see out of those backup guys. Adam Shaheen was walking pretty gingerly. He wasn't in pads. He has that lower back issue. And he looked like he was walking pretty gingerly. Don't want to speculate on if it got worse or anything like that, but that's what I saw from him. But yeah, not really too much on the tight ends as well. I don't know if Trey Burden even caught a pass, to be completely honest. Again, not a very good day for the offense in general. I don't even want to go into offensive line play, to be completely honest. I just know that the defense didn't give ground, and they got back into the backfield. So I can't pinpoint offensive linemen in particular that gave up pressure, but that's not what you want to see, especially when the entire offense is down, where the offensive line is that cohesive, strong unit. They didn't play the best today. Let's just say that. Move on to the defense, where primarily plays were made from every single level. Starting with the defensive line, like I said, I don't know if pinpointing exact players is going to be the best way of going about breaking down this day three of practice, but I noticed that this defensive line wasn't giving ground. Keem Hicks, Eddie Goldman up front, or even when Nick Williams is in, those guys, you know, played their gaps, allowed their inside linebackers, Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan, to kind of come in there, clean up the running backs, and that was really it. So you saw a lot of that today where this offensive line wasn't getting a push and this defensive line wasn't budging. And again, this defense, for the second day in a row, has really, really showed up. Moving to the linebackers, and I was pretty, I don't want to say critical, but it's because of how he played. Joel Ebuniwe, in the blocking drills with the running backs, didn't have a very good day. And I think Will Ingles provided some great depth analysis, if you will, about why is that just the leverage. All these running backs, except for Nall, are primarily shorter than all these linebackers were able to get good leverage. And Joel ended up on the ground twice in yesterday's practice. Today looked a lot more fluid as a rusher getting after the dummy quarterback. And now, I think that's what you want to see, some progression being made. And he was able to just use his hands, use some power, get to the dummy, and he won both of his reps. And that's what you want to see from a guy who struggled in the drill just yesterday. Again, I mentioned Roquan Smith, a guy that can, he finds ways in different ways, whether it's with power or just using his hand fighting ability. He knows how to get to the quarterback. And I think if Chuck Pagano is smart, which he is, he's going to send Roquan and Danny Trevathan more on the blitz, because those are two inside linebackers that are not just capable of playing good pass coverage. They can get after the quarterback. I think they're definitely going to do that more this season. Moving on to the secondary. Like I said, again, the Allen Robinson play over Prince Amukamara. Prince was in pretty good coverage. Allen Robinson just makes a great play. Kyle Fuller, I thought, was pretty consistent today. If balls were being completed in this practice, they were in tight windows, or maybe there was a blown assignment by the second or third string. But this, for the most part, this first string defense played lights out. You had Buster Skrine, a guy who I thought yesterday didn't play particularly well, but in today's practice, he just seemed a little bit more sticky, if you will. Old John Fox term, where he used to call Prince Amukamara that. But he was with the receivers. He had a nice, and look, it has been raining all day. It's not easy to catch a football in this weather, but he had a nice one-handed interception. I forget who it was in coverage. It was Allen Robinson. He was guarding Allen Robinson one-on-one. Mitch Trubisky, the ball was underthrown, and that gave Skrine the opportunity, made the most of it, stuck out his left hand, was able to corral the ball in. Nice interception. That's what you want to see out of your nickel corner. And I know there's...
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped Little Leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
A lot of people want to see Duke Shelley ball out, and he definitely has. But it's good to have that competition and to have the consistency between these two players just competing each and every day. And I'll talk about Duke Shelley again. He locked down Tanner Gentry, who has been pretty consistent at getting open in this camp. He was just running an out route. He tried to turn it into a wheel route. Duke Shelley was with him stride for stride. You can see him, being pumped up about it. He's continued to impress me. I don't know if it's really a surprise, but he's a guy that I don't know if he's going to compete for the nickel starting spot. I still see Skrine being the guy that will ultimately start day one, and I think for the majority of the season, but Duke Shelley's going to give him a run for his money. DeAndre Houston Carson, just kind of thinking back of this practice, had a nice interception. I think it was Chase Daniel throwing the football to one of the tight ends, and DeAndre Houston Carson just being active, the ball kind of got flipped up in the air, is able to make a nice diving catch, nice interception for him. And another guy who for two days straight, now a third day, has made plays is John Franklin III. Didn't think I'd be talking about him anymore, at that much, but he had a nice interception, had a pass breakup, I believe. So a guy that's continuing to make plays on the ball at the corner position, and again, that's what you want to see. Speaking of corners, Kevin, I did go to Iowa, you guys. Did go to Iowa. Seeing that in the comments there. It's on the windbreaker next to the mic. Apparently, I was breathing this way too hard yesterday, so I'm trying not to because I'm going to continue talking. But Kevin Tolliver showed some really good, again, yesterday showed some good hip flexibility, able to stay stride for stride with the receiver. He was one-on-one with Javon Wims yesterday on a deep vertical route, able to stay with him stride for stride. And I forget who the receiver was, but you see Kevin Tolliver not only stay with him, but look back for the ball in the left corner of the end zone. Almost gets an interception. Again, Tolliver is continuing to improve, especially in just that one-on-one pass coverage. Especially last year, maybe a little stiff. Didn't want to give up the deep ball, but he's getting more. He's getting closer to the line of scrimmage, playing that press man and staying with the receiver. That's what you want to see from a guy, a second-year player out of Kevin Tolliver. Trying to really think who else. Eddie Jackson, just playing consistent. I don't think he had any, surprisingly, didn't have any interceptions in this camp. He didn't have a lot of opportunities, though, because quarterbacks just weren't really throwing the ball to the receivers all day today. So nothing to really report there. Deion Bush, I think, looked pretty consistent, too. There was one where he was it was back corner of the end zone with a Taylor Gabriel. I'm pretty sure he was the guy in coverage, and Mitch Trubisky has to throw it sailing out of bounds because Deion Bush is right there. So for the most part, this defense, from the defensive line, linebackers, and secondary, played lights out. So that's what you kind of expect from this unit. And again, we talked about this in yesterday's podcast. Regression from this defense, I don't think should be expected. If anything, with Chuck Pagano, it should only get better because of how aggressive-minded he's going to be. Didn't even talk about the edge rushers, Leonard Floyd, Khalil Mack. How do you not mention Khalil Mack? That's crazy. There was this one play the first team offense. Had this been live, this was another team. Whoever the running, I believe it was either Mike Davis or Tariq Cohen, they would have been decapitated. Khalil Mack got back there quick. It was on the left side, so that would have been Charles Leno's side. I don't know if there was a stunt run. I couldn't see from the angle, but Khalil Mack, you see him get back there that quick. And the defensive line is still kind of battling the offensive line, but Khalil Mack's in the backfield. That running back is done. Whistle's blown. That's the end of that. Again, that's what you kind of expect from Khalil Mack, and we were able to see him kind of just work with his hands up front, and he was with the other outside linebackers, just so technically sound in what he's doing, the attention to detail. Again, Khalil Mack, that's why he is one of the best players in the NFL. And then, really didn't really see much from Leonard Floyd, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. There was one play, again, an 11-on-11. He would have blown up the play had the coaches not called the play dead. But that was the only rep that really was, memorable from Leonard Floyd. Not necessarily a bad thing because the defense as a whole played lights out. And moving on to special teams, Elliott Fry was a kicker today. So yesterday it was primarily Eddie Pinheiro. It was Eddie Pinheiro yesterday. But Elliott Fry, a guy who he kicked 10 total field goals and made 8 of them. He missed, I believe it was the first miss was at 33 yards, rebounded after that, missed the first 51-yard field goal attempt. He actually slipped pretty bad. And what they did for the special teams unit, they just kind of moved him over to the other hash and had him try the field goal attempt again from 51, drills it, plenty of leg, would have looked like it would have been good from 57, 60. So, I'm sorry, you got, I'm trying to read the chat, trying to give you the update. I see that you wish I can read the chat and do that in time. It's kind of tough. But I would say that's encouraging from Elliott Fry, a guy, again, that he was asked to kick the first day, did a pretty darn good job at it. And now here's the second day, 8 of 10, is able to, after even the misses, just make a couple field goals after that, miss that first 51-yard field goal, come back the very next rep and make that one. That's what you want to see out of Elliott Fry. And then the next practice will most likely be Pinheiro getting his chance to kind of redeem himself and continue to show why he should possibly be the kicker. But that was really it, you guys. Other than battling the rain the entire time, trying to tweet out stuff, trying to keep track of everything that was going on, just big takeaways from day 3. Day 2 in the pads, offense really lost today on all levels. Again, the third stringers look the best, and that's usually not a good day for the offense. Tyler Bray was actually completing passes while some of the other quarterbacks were either throwing interceptions or just completely off the mark. I think we have to see a better day from this offense. Now, the defense has won yesterday in Sunday's practice and today. I said in yesterday's podcast, I would expect both the offense and defense to have days like this, but now it's 2 days consistently for the defense. I think the weather kind of plays into their advantage, but still no excuse. we want to see Mitch Trubisky and this offense just complete passes, just look like they're in sync. Today, that wasn't the case. Underthrown balls from the Trubisky and most of the quarterbacks, really. But defensively, they're playing lights out. They're playing like that number one defense from a year ago. Again, these linebackers look quick, and not only in coverage, they can blow up plays in the run game. Defensive line is not giving any ground, and the secondary is just all over the place. Even Sherrick McManus, a guy who's playing now, transitioned to a new position in safety, saw him make a couple of plays. He's looking to punch the ball out, just obviously playing with Peanut Tillman, having that in like his system now. But overall, big takeaway, defense really dominated. Kicking is looking on the upside. Didn't think I'd be talking about that in, you know, through 3 days of training camp that I've been here. The next time you will see us, Will and I will be there. Hopefully, we'll see how work schedules kind of work out. But we plan to be at Thursday's practice when it's open back to the public, and hopefully Friday. Hopefully this was, you know, insightful. Again, I wish the weather was a little bit better. Could have taken a little bit more notes, kind of reflected. Had, you know, Will been here, would have gave his insight. Did mention Ian Bunting, though. He really wanted me to mention Ian Bunting having a good day, and he did. One of the few players on offense that did have a good day today. But that's going to do it. Make sure, we'll probably have the audio of this out later. I have to drive home. Will's driving back to Indiana. Going to probably dry off at some point along this 2-hour car ride. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you for looking just at the Twitter page. And of course, if you don't follow us already at the Chicago Audible, you can follow myself at Nicholas Moriano. We'll have plenty of updates. We plan to be on training camp, like I said, a couple more days. But thank you for tuning in. And hopefully the offense comes out to show, or shows up, for what would be day 4 of open practice. But until next time, bear down, Chicago.
Your heart health is the foundation of your body's performance. So if you want to stay at your peak, your heart has to do the same. CocoVia delivers the level of cocoa flavanols clinically proven to increase circulation, promoting healthy blood pressure and a strong heart. Boost your cardiovascular health and stay peak with CocoVia at CocoVia.com. That's CocoVia.com. And now during Heart Health Month, save 20% with coupon code CVHEART20. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.